Welcome to a podcast that was given a 5-week ban from broadcasting anything to do with the Bolzano Foxes game. But on appeal, that's been reduced to 1-week ban, because hey, they're only Johnny Foreigners. This is A View from the Bridge. View from the Bridge tries to bring you all the news and views of the Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name is Patrick Smith and today is Tuesday, the 3rd of September. Guys, how is it going? We have just under a week to go before the Elite League starts, and I don't know about you, but I'm getting really excited about it. We did have the weekend pass, the games against the Bolzano Foxes, and two fantastic results. And we're just about to talk to the usual guys, Davey and the coach. We also have John O'Bullard and Mark Hitchcock to talk about the largest rivalry in the world. If you want to get in touch with us here on A View from the Bridge, you can send us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. You can go to us on Twitter @AVFTB, and also you can go to our website www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. Well, there's only one way to get on with this show, and it's to talk to the two lads, so here we go. Season's almost upon us. A lot to chat about after those pre-season games. Davey and the coach, gentlemen, how are you?
Hi, Patrick.
Evening, Patrick.
Did you say hello to Davey there?
I was.
You can, coach. How you, coach?
Hello, David.
Gentlemen, a fantastic weekend for the Belfast Giants in a situation where they were up against a team that were entering into a European League that is no doubt higher than our own standard. A team that reached the Continental Cup Finals when we ourselves were knocked out in the second round, and a team that were very, very strong coming into the Aussie Arena, yet the Belfast Giants take two wins. Coach, that's spectacular.
It's superb. Absolutely brilliant. Unfortunately, I didn't get to the game's final weekend of the cricket season, but I saw the highlights and was speaking to plenty of people who were at the games, and from the feedback that I got anyway, the team is very impressive. And as you've already touched on, the opposition is obviously well known as a top quality organisation with some fantastic players. And the Giants obviously played fantastically well, played a physical game, a skill game. And, you know, us fans in Belfast, that's the type of hockey that we like to watch. And the early signs are very, very positive, and you know, any team that has a bit of size about it, I think that's the thing that most people said to me, was we don't just have a bit of the physical side of things or the just the skill, but we also have size, you know, this proper physical play along with the skilled guys, and that's good hockey to watch. And if you've got, you know, 17 guys on the bench there and they're committed to the cause, it looks very promising for a good season ahead.
Davey, the first game was a 6-3 win, and I think, as Coach mentioned, there was a bit of a physical game. In my opinion, that seemed to be where the Belfast Giants had the edge. It was a physical game up against maybe a Bolzano team that were a bit more skillful. How did you see that game going? Because I was also, and as an added bonus, it was also good to see Gareth Roberts score.
Yeah, I think we were texting each other while the game was going on, you know, about certainly text Rev during the game to say, you know, they just couldn't handle us physically. I watched the game on the all new and improved GiantsLive.tv, something we'll talk about later, no doubt. Great production from the guys again this season. We got out early at them, and although we went one down, it was a soft goal, and from then we grew as a team. Something that was spoke about last week or the week before in the podcast about having that, not so much instant chemistry, but that instant teamness, that everyone was straight in. Every time there was an opportunity for any rough stuff in and around the crease, you know, the whole team was in. When Keith went down with what looked like a bit of a knee on knee injury, you know, every man on the ice dived in to back him up. Physically all night, Lloyd and Keith were immense on the forecheck, and just had the Bolzano team looking over their shoulder rather than looking for the pass, and we just out-muscled them. We got power play after power play coming off stupid mistakes from Bolzano, And then Evan Chevrey for me was probably one of the highlights of the night, quarterback in the power play, and we took a lot of chances with the extra man, and it was a great, never going to be a bad win over Bolzano, but to knock six goals past him was a real, real good result.
I think it's a fantastic result for the Giants. I think that you look at it as well, the new guys coming in, I think that Kelvin Elfring looked fantastic. I don't mean to be disparaging, but considering the age of the lad, and the fact that he has been a top contender in the DEL for quite a few seasons, he's come in and he's hit the ground running. Same with Chris Higgins, not Chris Hitchens, as I said on Cats Whiskers TV. Chris Higgins, there was a number of questions about his standard, and people looked at his statistics and thought, you know, is he able to cut the mustard in the Elite League, because he doesn't seem to have statistically the type of game that we were looking for, and he came out there and he was fantastic. Coach, the Jeffrey Suez as well, some people said he was quite quiet, but others say he's got a bit of creativity there. Still a top quality player.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paddy, I was thinking about that. I did read a few tweets and what have you, saying that Suez was quiet, but that bodes well for us, because we all know, we've seen him in action, we've seen his quality. You know, if Jeff Suez is having a quiet game and we still come through with a win, that's positive signs, because the one thing that I always took away from Suez was the bigger the game, the bigger the point production from Suez. And, you know, I fully expect him come Nottingham time, Sheffield time, Coventry time, Suez will be putting up the points.
Davey, you said we may as well talk about it. Well, it was a 2-1 win on the Sunday, and in overtime, Kelvin Elfring, as we mentioned, getting the overtime winner. You say about, we'll have a chat about the GiantsLive.tv. You got a chance to, as myself, got a chance to watch the all new and improved coverage with Aaron Murphy doing the calling, replacing Wayne Hardman, and Simon Kitchen in for Gary Gillespie. Also being able to watch it on iPad, fantastic, for a fantastic bit of improvement there.
Just to have the portability of the iPad, especially at that time of night, when you're not at the game, you've generally something else to do. And, you know, as I've said, you can tune in on GiantsLive.tv. But I sat and watched it. The new commentators, you know, I'm not one for knocking people that do it for virtually voluntary. You know, I know Wayne was getting a wee bit of Scooby snacks out of nothing we're talking about, and you know, he was doing his best. I think that the new era of the Giants and going forward, Murph calls an absolutely brilliant game, and there's good colour commentary from Sizz on Saturday and Sunday, and I believe that they've got a few others in line for to do a bit more commentary over the coming weeks, and it's a service, obviously, with ourselves, me being stuck in England and you in Wales, it's something that we'll be using a lot over the coming weeks.
Coach, the Simon Kitchen doing a great job calling it from the as a co-commentator.
Simon's a hockey guy. He knows his hockey inside out, and you know, I think we all know the credentials of Aaron Murphy. And you know, I think Davey's right. You know, I know Mr. Hardman came in for a wee bit of stick from time to time. Almost became, you know, quite synonymous around the league for his faux pas at various different stages. But you know, I think Davey's right. You know, kind of the Giants going into a new era, and you know, kind of wanting to change it up a wee bit, maybe wanting just to spruce it up. And Simon and Aaron will do a very good job. And here's hoping it goes well for Ronan and all the guys at Giants Live.
Yeah, so say all of us. It's interesting times, because we have had this new era, and in this, you know, but and a bit of slagging off of it because we've had so many players coming back. But with we saw new banners being unveiled with regards to the retired jerseys. We've got a new bar opened in the Odyssey called McCool's. They refer to it as a fan experience with dynamic pricing. I think that means just cheaper beers before the game starts, and you know the. And brand new screens to cover what used to be covered by the scoreboard. Davey, do you see like a whole aura of a new era? Like there seems to be like a new Belfast Giants?
Yeah, I think the Odyssey, more or less taking over the team, if you want to use that term, has been a real jab in the arm for them. You know, it's been superb. I for one, from the day and hour that they announced that Wardy and Paxton were having their shirts retired. I think it's been abysmal that there hasn't been any sort of formal identity of that hanging in the Odyssey. Should it have been a mural? Should it have been a door in honour of them? Should it have been, in my opinion, now it has been done right and that they've got a banner with their name and number on it, that every time anyone who's coming to their first game or their 500th game, when they walk in, they know who, why nobody wears 27, why nobody wears 11 now, why nobody's going to wear 44. And just to jump in on that, I thought that the presentation of the whole shirt retirement on Saturday night to Todd, as covered by Giants Live TV, was absolutely superb.
Coach, you got to watch the video. I know you weren't there tonight, but you got to watch the video of the presentation. It was a fantastic bit of work.
Listen, I love those videos that the guys pump out at the season end and at the start of the season. They're fantastic. And just to see the likes of Thornton and Paxson, you know, on the video, it just brings back so many memories. And you see old games and goals scored and think, geez, I can remember being at that game and so long ago. And it just makes you realise, for me anyway, as a game one, season one fan, you know, it just makes you realise how long this organisation has been in existence. It makes you think of the good times and the bad times that have happened throughout that period, both either in your personal life or with the organisation. And it just evokes so many memories for me. And, you know, I've sent you guys like at the after seeing that video, you know, just sitting there and you're pumped, you know, just seeing that type of thing. And, you know, Schulte was my all-time favourite, as you guys well know. And just seeing the big guy send the message out to all the fans was fantastic to see.
Big being the operative word.
Yes, he's a big, big guy now.
Oh, it's good, but I would say it's good to see Stevie Thornton on there as well. Some nice comments being made by the man, the coach, the legend. But I thought it was a really good, bit of presentation. Good speech by Kelman. I don't know whether you wrote a speech or not, Coach, but it was a good speech by Kelman. And then he got a bit of a pop at Matt MacGyver for the microphone not working in the middle of it. But it was very enjoyable. And like you say, Davey, it's good to have those banners. They're absolutely massive, but it's good to have those banners there, like I say, representing those numbers and giving a bit of identity to the team.
Well, just, and then jumping back on to your other part of your question about the new bar, McCool's, I've had a few mates that were at the game tweeting me pictures today from, you know, inside the bar, the retired shirts, the murals on the wall. Not so sure about dynamic pricing at $3.70 a pint, whether that's all that dynamic, but we'll leave that to the people that drink the pints. But to have somewhere to go other than Rockies, somewhere right inside the arena, you know, I think it's a great thing. Hopefully get into it at some stage over the season, see what all the fuss is about. And, you know, best of luck to the Odyssey. Obviously see all these things as investment to getting their money back. So good luck to them as well.
Absolutely.
I'm Martin, and there are 101 reasons why I don't like ice hockey. Reason number 29. You have to go to Wales.
Well, we're going to have to talk about also taking place this weekend is the biggest rivalry in world ice hockey, I believe, is a fair enough, maybe universal, I don't know. It's
In the universe, of course.
Well, that voice you can hear during this again is the well-known presenter of the Cat's Whiskers TV, Jono Bullard. How are you doing, Jono? You all right?
Not bad, mate. You?
Grand, mate, grand. And also journalist is, I think, the best way I can describe him is just friend of the show. Mark Hitchcock, you alright, mate?
Friends of benefits.
Friends of, dear God. Gentlemen.
Shouldn't that be friends on benefits?
Very good.
The Jono, one of the last times you were on the podcast, we were discussing about how the possibility might arise that the Nottingham Panthers might win the league and how terrible that would be for everyone. How are you coping with that?
Yeah, it's just about sunk in now, I think. You know, I thought it might take about 57 years to sink in, but no, a bit quicker than that, actually. But no,
I've got to jump
it's a
right
nice
in
feeling.
Here,
sorry, Davey wants to jump in.
I've got to jump in, John. Are you not a bit embarrassed with this Grand Slam nonsense? Like, you're going to have more stars in your jersey than Dundee soon.
All right, but the whole Grand Slam thing. Now, my honest opinion, it's a treble. We won 3 trophies out of 4, is my opinion. However, seeing how it winds so many other people up, I'm quite happy to call it Grand Slam.
Okay. Hitchy, the last time you were on, we discussed about whether the possibility of the Panthers possibly winning the league and how terrible that would be for everyone. How are you dealing with that?
It's been a tough one to take. It's up there with Ken Barlow's accusations because he's a hero of mine. It's been a tough year.
It's got to go brilliantly. Well, we've got the first, since the playoff matchup, of course, we've had the full off season. The Steelers have really put together a great side, Hitchy, and it's the first big test. It's going to be against the Panthers in your own barn. I believe you're heading up to it. What are you expecting from it?
New seats and a new scoreboard. I'm looking forward to it. It's always interesting, isn't it, watching ice hockey? Because I suppose a lot of us are into the football as well. And when your team in the football signs players, you usually have seen them before on TV somewhere, and you know what to expect. But with the hockey, a lot of players come along, and all you've got to play with is stats on a website. So I think Nottingham and Sheffield have both had pretty positive results and performances in Europe in pre-season, and that's a good testament to how those clubs are doing as well, that they can go and play some competitive games abroad. So I think it'll be an interesting game. There's a big game in Coventry on Saturday first as well for Sheffield. I'm not quite sure who Nottingham have got, but I think come Sunday it'll be good for bragging rights, and I'm sure both teams, it won't take them long to realise that it is quite a big game.
Jono, it's you guys have lost quite a few of your treble winning players. You've put together what is the guts of a brand new team, and you're going up against what is a very, very strong Sheffield side. What are you expecting?
I think it's going to be a really tough game for us. I said in the Cats Whiskey season preview, if anybody could have heard the microphone or heard it, I actually said I can't see actually any weakness in the Steelers roster from top to bottom. I can't see any holes in it whatsoever. They look a really, really strong outfit on paper. So I think it'd be really, really interesting to see how they both match up against each other. I mean, I saw Panthers play against Amiens on Friday, which was a really, really good game, a really fast-paced game, probably better than most Elite League games I've seen in the past couple of seasons. It was really that good. I think it's going to be a really interesting matchup. But like you said, we have got the guts of pretty much a new side. We've got 7 new imports. So I think if I'm not expecting too much from it, if I'm honest. I think if we come away with a draw or a loss, I won't be that surprised.
Look, quick chat about pre-season, Jono. It's you just went up against a Swiss team, a DEL team, pretty much, I wouldn't say destroyed, but it was a tough game in both, and you were beating them both of those. And then you had Amiens and Brayhead. And Amiens, you gained the victory, which I think against the French team you said you might have been expected to. But the Brayhead clan you lost to, and therefore negating any chance of another Grand Slam by not picking up the 11 Cup. But yeah, so
well, we didn't. Of course, we didn't win the Aladdin Cup last pre-season. We all know what that was, a poor runner too. So
it was over before it began. The so
3 out of 5. This Grand Slam's going down and down.
But the game against the Brayhead clan, it sounds like the two games against the higher level were two tough games to do. So not really much of a level playing field for a bit of preparation there, because you probably were sitting behind the cosh a lot trying to defend against good teams. Whereas against Amiens, you've got what sounded like a shooting practice. The real test was maybe, would you agree, against Brayhead, where you were on a level playing field and able to see what your team were able to do?
I obviously wasn't at the game, but both teams started with the backups. So Dan Green was in for us, and Mike Will was in for Brayhead. Brayhead are a good side, and I think they are going to be a good side this year, and they will beat teams at in Braehead and also on the road as well. I think the problem you've got is after what happened last season, there's quite a lot of high expectation, and I think in a lot of cases, a lot of unrealistic expectation, especially from our fan base. And some of our fan base was treating Sunday like it was the end of the world. And it's to put it into perspective, it's a pre-season game. You know, it's a sort of a fitness run out and you're testing lines. I mean, he put a penalty shootout with shooters of Jonathan Boxhill, Rob Lakovich, and Stevie Lee, which, you know, when you've got players like Matt Francis and David Clark in the lineup, why wouldn't you use them? I think Corey was using it as a bit of game practice, but at the same time, you know, you shouldn't. I think a lot of people expect us to go into places like Braehead and roll them over. Well, that's just not going to happen. You know, they're a good side and they can beat anyone on the day.
Hedgie, sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was just thinking there, you know, I agree with what Jono said there. You know, from a fan's perspective, there has to be an element of realism there that, you know, like Corey Nielsen's going to be trying out different lines. He's obviously throwing in Dan Green there and what have you. The one area that I would slightly disagree is, like, on the other flip side of the fan expectation, Nottingham do get the best crowds. They have the best commercial side of things, along with the Giants, in my opinion. They do it incredibly well. They do operate with a very big budget. And I'm surprised, you know, they've brought in quality imports. There's no question about that. But I'm surprised to kind of hear Jono being a wee bit downbeat on the team in terms of the quality up against Sheffield and what have you, because Nottingham should be able to compete with the level of import that they're bringing in. Do you not agree, Jono?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not for a minute saying that I don't think we should be competing, because of course we should. But I think to say that we're far and away better than everybody else, I think is wrong, because I think every other team has improved, and improved by quite a lot as well, and especially in Sheffield's case. Obviously, I can only, as Hitchy said right at the start, you can only go on the sort of stats that you've seen of the players that have been bought in. And I think there, from looking on paper, there has been some real high calibre signings throughout the league. I mean, we only looked a few seasons ago where a lot of teams were bringing in sort of CHL quality players. How many sort of CHL standard players have been bought in this season? It's been mainly ECHL and AHL players that have been bought in. So I think the standard of player has definitely improved throughout the whole league. And it's not that I'm being downbeat. I'm just trying to be probably a little bit realistic. And I think some of our fans do expect a bit too much.
Hitch, in contrast, for the Sheffield Steelers, you've been out of the country for a couple of weeks, so I can only assume that you followed the Steelers to Slovakia or Slovenia. I'm not sure which it was.
It felt like I was there with the amount of bloody tweets.
What are you for breakfast, Hitch?
Are you on the road? Just got another flight. But yeah, the Steelers took on a Slovakian side, a Slovenian side, and a Swiss one. I think they only gained one win out of those three. It's a bit different this season. Like, you look at the fact that in the last few years, pre-season's changed a great deal. It used to be we had pre-season games against each other, and now the likes of Steelers and the Panthers and all are going into Europe for these. Do you see a real benefit from that, Mitt?
I think there's pros and cons. I mean, it's obviously nice to test yourself against teams that you know you're going to be on the par with over the course of the season. But I mean, I can think back to the old days of the Premier League, and the Steelers used to go over to the Eastern Europe and really test themselves against some really quality opposition. And I guess one of the real positives for it, is there's probably not going to be any of the opposition having a look to see what kind of lines the coaching staff are putting together, what drills they're doing. There's no opportunity to get a bit of a heads up as to how Christensen's going to approach things. But I guess as a Belfast fan, you probably know how it's going to pan out in terms of the way he's going to want to play his Steelers team. Mm. But I'm quite happy with him being out of the country. It gives the added focus to the actual games that are coming up next weekend and the first opportunity for, I'd say, 99% of the Steelers fan base to actually see the team.
Mm. And just we'll move on just in a second. Lads, I'm interested to know how you think this game will go between the two of you, Hitchy.
As I say, I mean, it's. I find it impossible to make a prediction without seeing either team and without even knowing what colour hair half of the players have got. I'd like to think that we're going to get the win. I mean, Nottingham, the last time they came out to defend a title was the year John Lennon and Paul McCartney met, so it kind of puts a bit of a bit of perspective on how long it's been before they've come into a season with the pressure and the weight on the shoulders of defending champions. But the Challenge Cup's always been something they've been strong in. I think they've won the last three, was it four? It's probably as much their competition as the Aladdin Cup is, so let's just hope it goes as bad in this one as it did in the Aladdin.
Jono?
I like it said, you know, I've only seen the Panthers, I've not seen the Steelers play. I think if I had to make a prediction, I would say it would go to overtime. But beyond that, I really don't know.
Interesting. Well, let you stick with us, lads, because I'm interested to know your thoughts on the next topic, because one of the pre-season games that took place was between the Coventry Blaze and... Sorry, the Coventry Blaze, the Cardiff Devils and Iceberg from Denmark. And in that game, there was a bit of a bit of controversy regarding Andrew Conboy of the Cardiff Devils. He, for the lack of a better term, stuck the head on one of the Denmark players, one of the Danish players, with a bad headbutt, received a one match and was kicked out. There was an Elite League edict sent out a few days later that stated there's a mandatory 5-match ban. And today, the brand new head of discipline, Morey Hansen, good to have him back in the game, but Morey Hansen has reduced that to one game based on the fact that it wasn't played under Elite League rules and it was against, quote, foreign opposition. Davey, I'm going to start with you on this. What are your opinions on that being reduced? Because it sounds to me like it sets a very dangerous precedent.
Headbutt's a headbutt. And a suspension's a suspension. If there's a 5-game tariff for a headbutt, it shouldn't really matter who or when you're headbutting. If a Doncaster Rovers player headbutts somebody from, I don't know, a wee small team like Liverpool, he's going to get a 5-match ban. It's going to carry over. It should be... The tariff's there to be assessed, and if it was a 5-match ban, it should have stood.
Coach, we spoke earlier this week regarding it, and you were saying about how it all falls under jurisdiction, and you weren't that sure whether it was a case of whether he should receive a 5-match ban or not. What are your opinions now?
Oh, well, I haven't seen the incident, but I think it's fairly clear to, you know, from what we've read on Twitter and even Mr. Conboy retweeting a certain tweet as well to do with how great the headbutt was, that it obviously happened. And, you know, as Davey says, a headbutt's a headbutt, and he should be given a good slap for it. But at the end of the day, my kind of take on it was, at the time, as you two know, because we went back and forward on it, was what jurisdiction does it fall under? And I kind of knew that was going to come because, you know, the Elite League... you know, we're playing a team, or Cardiff are playing a team from Denmark in that game. You know, does it fall under the EIHL auspice? You know, I don't know. Clearly it doesn't, you know, because that 5, as Morey Hansen said in his statement, if it had have been a full Elite League game, it would have got the full 5-match ban, but because it doesn't, he only sits out tomorrow night against Coventry. My views on it... A headbutt's a headbutt, and he should get the full 5 games. But as I say, I just knew that he wasn't going to get the full 5 match.
Jono, as Coach says, the Cardiff Devils play the Coventry Blaze tomorrow night, and that's the game in which Andrew Conboy is going to sit out. But it's also a game that's, I believe, the third, or it's been a 3-way tournament between this Danish team, Coventry Blaze and the Cardiff Devils. As such, do you feel that the same rules apply? If somebody's going to headbutt somebody, are they only going to get a one match ban despite the fact it's between two teams? Or, you know, the fact that it was mentioned it was against a foreign team was very, very strange.
Well, I mean, the Elite League have made the rules, and for consistency, then if anybody headbutts anyone in tomorrow night's game, then it's got to be a one match ban. If not, then, well, the Elite League have made a complete rub for their own backs. Because, you know, I totally disagree with the ban being reduced. It's a headbutt. I played in a rec game where a teammate of mine attempted a headbutt, was got pulled up and got a three-match ban. So that was for attempted. You know, this guy actually did headbutt someone and has had it reduced to one game. So I think... I think Murray Hansen, as you say, great to see him back in the game, but I think he's dropped a massive clanger here.
Hitch,
Do you think there might have been a threat of some form of legal action from the Cardiff Devils owner down the line? You know, where does it fall? Where does it fall into? You know, does it fall into the EHL, EIHL jurisdiction? You know, what are the parameters here?
In this situation here, surely it's a case of they've invited this Danish team to come over to play. As such, they've taken the chance on, and they're the hosts, let's put it that way. Therefore, they're, as the hosts, they're going to play it under the rules of the locals. They've brought in Elite League referees to play that game under, and as such, everybody would play under Elite League rules. The Danish
so
team
what happens all. Then so what about Sean Limbright elbowing LaCosta? So does, because it fall under the Elite League banner, does that then head, do the Elite League then contact the Danish League and say, Sean Limbright was found, he got a match penalty, or whatever. I know he didn't, probably on the night, I can't remember now, but you know, he was, on video evidence, he was seen to be elbowing the goaltender, who's now out injured, that's a four-match ban, that's a three-match ban.
I think on the night it wasn't actually called by Darnell, was it? So,
no.
It's a bit of a grey area because you can't, unless you report it, I guess, to the IIHF, but you take the chance of inviting these teams in. Therefore, you both have to stand up. I guess if, I don't know, it's a very, very difficult one. I think that, I still stand by the fact that I think a headbutt's a headbutt like yourselves and that it should be a five-match ban, but I do agree that how do you put that jurisdiction over a foreign team coming in? However, making a decision like this, you start to say things like two foreign teams coming in that it's open season.
We're speculating here without having seen it.
Right.
He got 2+2 for roughing on the night, and if there had been a serious headbutt attempt or even a headbutt, one of the three officials were bound to have seen it and took more action than giving him a 10 minutes of misconduct. You know,
he got a match penalty on the night.
He got a match penalty on the night. And in saying that, Davey, if you read like some of the comments from Cardiff Devils fans on their forums and on the hockey forum, very few of them stand up to say that a five match ban wasn't deserved. In fact, most of them say it was a very stupid thing to do. And before it was reduced, they were all saying it's a very stupid thing to do. And I guess that's just what we have to deal with. You know, so they were very accepting of the fact of that this incident, and they saw it, that this incident was worth five games. As such, I guess they're delighted it's been reduced to one. But what I want to ask yourself, Hitchie, is you'll remember back to when Paul Cruz in a game, I believe it was wasn't league competition, maybe it was a Hearn competition, where he ripped his helmet off and started to beat a lad with it, and he received a hefty ban for that, didn't he?
He did, yeah. And going back to Comboy, which sounds like some kind of fraudulent superhero, I think it should have stood. I think it's irrelevant. If the game had been abroad, it would have been interesting. If it had been in Denmark with a Danish referee and Danish rules or whatever, would the Elite League have come out and talked about an automatic five-match ban? You know, I was talking to my friend John Smichael over in Denmark about the situation, and he was saying that it's not even been talked about over in Denmark. But in the Elite League, in my opinion, if our teams are playing on our rinks, regardless of what competition it is, they've got a duty to uphold the disciplinary procedures that they have in place. Otherwise, it just makes an absolute shambles. And I think it's really unfortunate for someone like Murray Hansen, who's only just been announced in this role, who a lot of people have respect for, and his first duty is almost to announce that there's been a reduction, because his reasoning, it's foreign opposition, the ruling is different, and the normal suspension tariffs do not apply. Then why announce it as an automatic 5-match ban in the first place? Why not say, we're going to go and take this situation and we're going to review it in the unique scenario that it's a pre-match friendly? I just don't understand why it's been dealt with this way, and it's another example of the Elite League being a little bit unprofessional, in my opinion.
It is very unfortunate. It'd be interesting to see the reaction that comes across the league, because I think there seems to be a lot of, despite the fact you look at the organisation of the league, that it's a co-op organisation. Every team has its own part in the league board. Everybody seems to also then be encamped and then look for loopholes and try to develop this so their own team. But yeah, in the long run, it's down to one match, and Conboy will be back for the start of the league season. Gentlemen, Jono and Hitchy, thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the match on Sunday.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll be back on A View from the Bridge to give our full and frank reviews on the new seating.
That'd be interesting to see.
The leg room will still be rubbish.
And half the seats will be empty.
That's only because most ice hockey fans have really, really fat legs.
I'm Martin, and there are 101 reasons why I don't like ice hockey. Reason number 6. Rapid Solicitors.
And as I said, this weekend is the start of the Elite League Championship for the new season. And the first team to arrive at the Odyssey Arena would be the Edinburgh Capitals. Davey, the Edinburgh Capitals are a strange one because you don't know what they're going to bring. The last season, they shocked us more often than not. But they tend to be slow starts of the season. You look at them pre-season, they got absolutely pumped by the Hull Stingrays in Hull, but held them when they came back to Edinburgh. What sort of game would you be expecting with the Caps coming to Belfast?
It'll be hard to know. To be honest, the way the Giants came out the other night, slow for the first few minutes, I would expect that bit of rustiness not to be there next weekend. excuse me. I would expect nothing less, and I'm hope I'm not putting a scud on here. I would expect nothing less this weekend than a big win over Edinburgh, because they don't have the full roster in yet. With the greatest respect, they'll not have the same quality. I'd be very interested to see what odds Paddy Power's given on this. I honestly expect nothing. I'm just trying to scrabble here and have a wee look at their full roster. But, you know, I would expect us to beat them and beat them handsomely.
I think the 14 players signed to date.
Is that, well, Coach, how do you think it reflects on the league? Because, you know, the league, we had there earlier on Jono and Hitchy and I was saying about how recruitment-wise the league's really improved, not as many CHL players, more AHL, ECHL, that the new conference system is being able to develop the teams in Scotland, but we still have this situation where it's obviously a finance-based one, but we still have this situation in Edinburgh and maybe a little bit in Fife, but where we're not getting full rosters to start the season. So you're already starting behind the eight ball, and you're coming into Belfast, and you're going to start with next to nothing.
Yeah, well, I think I said it to you guys again in text the other day. I'm just glad that we're playing Edinburgh now at the start of the season and we're not playing them, you know, or having to play all four away games or whatever, and four home games, whatever, at, you know, in the middle of November, December time, whenever they have a full roster and all of a sudden find a couple of gems who pop up with 25, 30 goals for them and, you know, do what they did to us last year at Murrayfield and beat us towards the end of the season. You know, I think it makes a sham of the league, personally. You know, I think the Elite League should have some form of authority to say you must start every team must start the season with your full quota of imports. I just think it makes a sham of the league. You know, whenever a team has got 14 players signed, and I'm not even sure how many of those 14 presently are actually imports. I have a funny feeling of about six, seven imports. Well, you know, I agree with Davey. I expect them to smash Edinburgh on Saturday.
They've got six Scottish players, five guys from Slovakia, three guys from Canada, and two from the Czech Republic. You know, the very small amount of North American experience in there, so they're not going to be able to play that rough and tumble game, I would imagine. You know, they've got good players there. They're short and D. They've got two import D, and then Lane Weber, who can go both ways, like Corey Nielsen, and Neil Hay, who do a wee bit as well. But I am a great advocate of... I know we're not the NHL, we're not North American, but we do play what is essentially a North American sport. I believe that this league should have an enforced salary cap, and it should have an enforced salary floor. A team should, to be in this league, to be at this level, to grow the level and the sport, teams should be having to spend a certain amount of money, because that ensures then that they're buying a certain quality of player. The Edinburgh fans, although they're not massive in numbers, they're still there to support the team. They're going to get biffed here a lot this season unless they get numbers through the door side of things, because that is not a big enough roster. They're relying on the minute. There are six of their players. Two of them are juniors. You know, Sam Beattie, born in 1996, Jay King, born in 1990. These are kids, and they're going into a man's game very quickly. You know, these guys are going to be lining up against Jeff Swayze and Dustin Whitecotton and Calvin Elfring, boys with massive experience, and they're going to be made to look like boys this weekend. And I don't think it's fair to Edinburgh Capitals. I don't think it's fair to the other teams in the Gardner Conference, and I don't think it's fair to the fans of the league.
But is this a step-by-step thing? Because we've known this with Edinburgh, but can you think that they're trying? You know, I understand what you're saying with regards to the floor, and I understand what you're saying to the cap, but it just takes time. Do you want the deadline of bringing these players in? Because I assume that at some point the Edinburgh Capitals will have their full quota of imports. It may not be till October, but they will have it. And they did show last season that when they were able to do it, that Richard Hartman was able to coach them into a position where they were taking scalps. So,
but if that's your point, but then if that's the point, I don't understand why they wait for a month at the start. Why do they write off the first month of the season then? Why do they not have their players in for the start of the season?
Waiting for gate income? You know, waiting for the start of the season. Big gulp from coach. Waiting for gate income coming through. Maybe they've got their season ticket money in. They buy the players that they can with the season ticket money and the sponsorship money. Then they wait a month. They get some gate income in, and then they use that to try to bring in some extra players.
It is,
but it has to start somewhere, doesn't it?
What do you call the guy that runs the Caps? His name's escaped me.
Scott Neil.
First of all, I have to say credit to Scott Neil for actually having the doors open for the start of the season here, because the guy's invested a heck of a lot of his own money into the Caps. And credit to him for trying to keep what must be an incredibly hard business to run going. He's literally doing this now for the love of the sport and for the respect that he has, and vice versa, that the fans have for him. But all it's doing, they're not doing themselves any favour, and they're not doing the league any favour. I want, more than anything, the Edinburgh Capitals to be in the league. I love going to Edinburgh to the games, love the old rink. It's one of those places that, you know, you never get bored of going on. It's funny because it's just an old school hockey rink, but they're devaluing the product by being, you know, having a short roster, not competing. Hey, we'd be surprised they could end up competing, but I just don't see it at the minute, not with the roster they have, unfortunately.
Was it not this time last year whenever Edinburgh came over to Belfast and the Edinburgh Capitals had to borrow a couple of Edinburgh shirts from their supporters in the crowd?
I don't know how true that story is, but if you know,
we don't need to labour it too much. I honestly believe that it makes a farce of it. So it does. If you're only starting, as David, like David's just rhymed off tier three guys who are 16, 17 years of age, playing against Jeff Swayze, White Cotton, all these Cody Brokewell and these guy, these types of guys. Like, it's just men against boys. So it is. And, you know, and it does make a sham of it whenever, come November, you'll actually think, you know what, Edinburgh have a decent wee team here. So they have, and it just makes a sham of it. You know, would, if Guildford were in the Elite League, would they be in the same position? No, I don't think they would, because they have a bit of money behind them. Would Manchester be in the same position? Don't know, Paddy, you'd probably know better than me, but I would imagine that they would be able to have their full 11 imports in before the start of the season. You know, I just think year on year, Edinburgh just make a bit of a farce of it with their first kind of 6-8 weeks of the season.
I think that
they're obviously targeting at this, even at this stage of the season. I would say Edinburgh are targeting sort of 7th, 8th in the league. You know, they're not trying to get any higher than that, so maybe they can afford to ride a few games off the start of the season. But I thought with the introduction of Fife and Dundee and Brayhead into Scotland, and you've got really four good Scots teams there battling against each other more or less every weekend, you're going to have a derby in Scotland. And that was going to increase the visibility of the game, and it might bring more people through the door. But numbers just aren't coming through the door at Edinburgh, and that has to be down to the product on the ice as well. And unless they bring, as Coach says, don't want to leave the point too much, unless they bring the quality up on the ice, people aren't going to come and watch, and it's just a never-ending circle where people don't come and watch and the quality goes down, and eventually it's going to be bye-bye.
Well, I think we all know what we're expecting then from that game. The game is available. If you can't get down to the Odyssey Arena for the 7 o'clock face-off on Saturday, it's available on GiantsLive.tv. And, Coach, you want something else to say?
Yes, I do. I've just got the score through from the official EIHL Tuesday pre-season result. Edinburgh 4, Dundee Stars 13.
You're not serious.
Yep.
Well, then... If you want to go down to see an absolute hammering, which what it sounds like it's going to be, Saturday, 7 p.m. Odyssey Arena or GiantsLive.tv. I don't think we need to say anything more on that. We can move swiftly on to Sunday night, which we hope will be... Well, it sounds like we're being really disrespectful to Edinburgh, I'm sorry. But anyway, the game on Sunday night is against the Cardiff Devils at Cardiff Arena, or the big blue tent. We assume Conboy will be back for that game because he's only got a one-match ban. But DaCosta, we'll see how his injury is. Mac Faulkner might be back for that game as well. Davey, start with you again. The Cardiff Devils, what are you expecting?
Tougher game than what we're going to get on Saturday night. Saturday night maybe won't do us any favours, but we're going to go to Cardiff. I expect them to be hard to beat in the gross little tent. I'll be at the game. I'll be tweeting on at AVFTB for anyone that wants to follow us and get non-biased updates instead of what you get from the one-eyed fans in Cardiff. I'm expecting a rough, tough game where our big boys are going to have to stand up tall right from the start. I would expect... It's Cardiff's first, it's their home opener in the league. Those boys, although they've had pre-season games to try and impress their fans, there's going to be a few big boys out there that are going to be trying to put their marker down for the season, want to be crowd favourites, want to be liked. But at the same time, I think that we have got an incredibly good team. I like our team. I like our experience. I like our compete level. I like how... We know each other well, and I especially liked how our power play worked on Saturday and Sunday night. Movement that hasn't been there for a couple of seasons, and well quarterbacked, as it said earlier, by Evan Chevrolet. I think that we have more than the ability to go to Cardiff and take the 2 points.
Coach, they've got a big D there. You're obviously last season with the Nottingham Panthers, you're an advocate of having big D men behind the play. But it's, as Davey says, it'll be an interesting game because it could turn a bit rough.
It's always a tough physical battle in Cardiff. And as we've touched on previously in previous podcasts, G always puts together a really big physical team. It's well suited to the big blue tent. Listen, the Giants know exactly what they're going to get whenever they walk in there. And, I just feel that Cardiff, I tend to agree with you and your sentiments over the last few weeks. Cardiff look big at the back. They're a big physical team, but I'm struggling to see where their creativity comes from, bar Blight and maybe Faulkner. And it's essential, especially whenever you go away from home. You don't just need the physical element, but you've got to have the skill element there as well. And I think Jay kind of just missed a wee bit of a trick there.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think I've said over the last couple of weeks. Of course, it could come back to bite me in the ass, but when I look at that Cardiff team, it does look like look at 5 import D there. It's like shut the door and pass it to Faulkner, and hope that he hits the back of the net. And you need more than that. Mac Faulkner's a great player, Blake's a great player, but you need a bit of creativity around that. And they've got big lads. They've got big lads that are going to rough a few players up. But that's not going to win you a game necessarily. You need that creativity. You need that. You know, you look at the Belfast Giants when they brought in Sean McMorrow. That's brilliant. He's going to batter a few people around the head, but he's not going to create very much. He's not going to create goals. You really need that creativity. And I can't see that being in that Cardiff team. Hopefully, as you say, it's always a battle when we go out there. It's always a battle in the big blue tent, as cold as it always is. But I really hope that given the situation that they have there with that team, and as you say, Davey, I like this team as well. I think it's really well balanced. We've got the creative players like Suez. We've got really good attack from defence, with Sandrock and Mason and Elfring. And so I think it was Aaron who said in his review of the weekend that he'd considered Jeff Mason to be our worst import D, and that's actually a positive. Because Jeff Mason's brilliant, and if we're able to have that sort of attack from defence, and also back that up with great scoring through White Cotton and big guys there as well, I think we'll do all right. Personally,
yeah, I agree. I think we look strong. I think we cover all bases. I did have a wee look at the Steelers highlights from their games in Europe over the weekend, and I know they lost a couple of games and obviously came up trumps in their final game with a win, but they looked impressive. The guy Ryan Gagliardi looks very, very impressive. Got silky hands, a brilliant skater. They look incredibly strong. So they do, but I think for this weekend, I think the Giants have got to be looking at 2 wins.
Like I say, Davey, you're heading down there, and you'll be tweeting on at AVFTV on the View from the Bridge Twitter account.
Yeah, just to pick up on something Coach said there about Gagliardi, and I think we're a different team, coached by a different man this year, in that the head-to-head games are going to be crucial again this year. And when Nottingham came to us last year, we either didn't or couldn't lay a lick on David Ling. I think it'll be different this year. I think when the top guys step onto the Odyssey ice this year, they're going to have one eye at what's coming at them every time this year. It happened several seasons ago. I know we hark back to Sean McMorrow. He changed Brad Voss' game style when he came to Belfast. And I don't care what anyone says, it's a fact. I've said fact now, so makes it a fact. I think
that's the law.
That's the law of the interweb. I just think that this year we have got a different attitude already in the first 2 games that I watched on GiantsLive.tv. I can't wait for it to start.
I think, so say all of us, mate. I think before we finish, and we'll wrap things up in a second, looking outside of the 2 games with Belfast Giants, what's your game of the week, Davey?
Oh, game of the week outside the Belfast Giants?
Yes.
I don't know, because we're talking about the biggest fixture in Europe and all this here. To be honest, if they were playing in my back garden, I'd pull the curtains. biggest game of the week? I'm just looking at the fixtures here. Coventry Sheffield Saturday night.
Challenge Cup game against them. Coach?
Challenge Cup. It'll be interesting to see how Matt Soderstrom lines his team up in his home opener. It'll be interesting to see whether Sheffield are all that, and then it'll be interesting to see how we do ourselves. I'm not really worried about other teams. I think if we take care of our own business this year, we're the team to beat.
Coach?
Yeah, I still think the Nottingham Sheffield games is the big one. It'll be the sellout game. It'll be 78,000 people in the Motorpoint Arena. It'll be a fantastic atmosphere. Two bloody good teams. It'll be hard hitting. You can expect your fair share of fights in it. You know, it'll have everything for the paying customer. And that'll be the one that every fan's kind of looking out for on Sunday evening, let's be honest.
Everyone except for Davey. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, Patrick.
See you later, Patrick. See you later, Neil.
And that is your lot. Thanks again to the lads. It's always a pleasure. Well, like I say, it's only a matter of days until the Elite League starts. And if you haven't got your ticket for the Odyssey, get yourself down there. Get a ticket. We may have been running down that Edinburgh game, but still, it's well worth getting support in your team. And if you can't get down to watch it, you can always follow it on giantslive.tv. Aaron Murphy is the new commentator. He's joined by Simon Kitchen, and the guys have a fantastic production there. So if you can't get to the game, that's the place to see it. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, and we catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Bye now.